Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome in, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor on the line with us from South Florida. The final score in Detroit, Lions 26, Jaguars 19. Well, the Jags played with a lead, guys. They got takeaways on defense, but the pick six a killer, the punt return for a touchdown a killer, non-offensive touchdowns the key for the Lions today, Fred, and they got it done, and all of a sudden the division leader in the NFC North has another victory, and the Jags have dropped five in a row.
Yeah, JP, Mike, what's up, guys? Hey, this NFL, man, is any means necessary. It doesn't matter how you win. Bottom line is find a way to get it done. Obviously, the Jags didn't do that today. I got to tip my hat off to the defense. I mean, I thought they started the game fast, as they usually do. And they played a fairly solid game, man. I mean, they're going to be on the field for a while, and you're going to let the punt return and a pick six determine the outcome of the game. Those guys have nothing to really hold their heads down about. Now, on the other hand, Mr. Marks, I love you to death, boss. I really do, and I hate to say this, but it's a slap in the face, fourth and one in year. Undisciplined, man. You slap your team in the face, and that really hurt. So that's my two cents to open this up, JP, Mike. Here we go again.
Yeah, look, the Cedric Marks play, you watch that on replay, you're wondering, what is he even thinking? It's not like he was in his stance for 4 or 5 seconds, you know, and he barely put his hand on the ground, and he just ran across the line of scrimmage. So who knows if the Jags would have won the game, Fred, but at least it would have given them a reasonable chance, presuming Prater kicks that field goal. They have about 2 minutes to try to match it and go down the field and maybe send this game to overtime or win it on a two-point conversion. So you're right, the defense for the most part today, they gave up a drive here or there, but they're outstanding. They had four consecutive three and outs in the first half, kept answering the bell and really kept them around, guys. And if you're gonna continue to allow touchdowns in unconventional ways, the pick six, high ball off him, should Marquise Lee have brought it down? I don't know, but it was a high ball a little bit behind him. You know, tip drill, and Detroit gets the better of that. And then the kind of half wave. I don't know. I didn't notice any Jaguars slowing down on the punt return. You know, so hard to say that impacted it. But you can't expect to give those up. But second time in a row they've given up a long return. This one went all the way to the house.
Yes, I agree with you, Mike. I don't know if some Derek's play would have affected the overall outcome. But again, it just shows that you got to be ready. You got to have more discipline than that out there, man. Very critical moment. You never know. You would have, at least you give yourself, about 2 minutes, 20 plus seconds.
Sure.
To see what you can do. And we've seen them pull one out of the bag before. So you never know. But that particular play, you don't give yourself a chance. And this league is about giving yourself an opportunity to win. Not beating yourself, and that's what this team has done in these 10 games. They find a way to beat themselves.
The first five drives for the Lions today, they had 14 yards total. The next five drives, 263 yards. That started with a 67-yard drive to get the field goal before halftime, and then and like we said, hey, those non-offensive touchdowns really told the tale, because that Lions offense wasn't doing much of anything today. The Jags defense was playing well, and then towards the end, they just couldn't get them off the field when they needed to. Now, Jaguars offense, Blake Bortles, the pick six today, that's an unfortunate one, right? The one last week, it's the one out in the flat, a throw you can't make, not enough on it. This is a tipped ball, and
JP, for me, it's not unfortunate.
Well, Fred, hold on. We'll come back. Let's go back to Detroit now. Gus Bradley is with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, 13 points allowed that were not by the Detroit Lions offense. Hard to win football games when that occurs.
Yeah, you're right. You know, another special teams where they got a punt return for a touchdown, pick six for a touchdown. Thought the defense played pretty well till the very end. You know, we gave up that explosive play. But you're right. You know, self-inflicted wounds kind of came back to get us.
Offensively, a lot of guys ended up missing time in this ball game. Mercedes Lewis, Patrick Omame was out. T.J. Yeldon was out. But they continued to fight and were actually running the ball pretty well and moving the ball effectively.
I thought so. You know, I thought the whole team really demonstrated that. Fought till the very end. You know, had some adversity go, you know, didn't go our, or I guess it went against us. But I thought the guys really rallied. Fought through the whole thing. Just came up short at the end.
Defense played very well. The explosive play you talked about at the end. And then an opportunity to get the ball back for the offense didn't happen. Senderic jumped off sides on a 4th-and-2. Not a good play.
No, you know, there's a lot of plays that, you know, determine the outcome of a game. And you mentioned some of them. And, you know, we just got to be smart throughout. There was plays in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. And we've all got to be on our game throughout, especially when you're facing a good team like Detroit.
Blake Bortles looks like he took some shots in the game, fought through it. How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. You know, I'll meet with our training staff after this, but again, another guy that demonstrates that grit, you know, that, you know, we got a little banged up, like you said, but I thought everybody fought through it for the most part and did a good job, and he was one of those guys that did that as well.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Gus Bradley in the locker room. Fred, sorry to cut you off. One quick final thought about that. The pick six before, he was banged up in the first half. We cut you off going before to Gus.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, you said it was unfortunate. For me, it was another bad throw. I mean, I saw today is a few bad throws out there where decision-making can be better. You don't have to force the issue. Take the short yardage and, you know, give yourself an opportunity to give yourself some credit, you know, create the momentum, 4 yards. You know, you're adding to your account, man, and eventually you save enough to eventually take some out and enjoy the end of the drive, man. I'm trying to use an analogy to depositing, you know, to account, but still, it's you got to be smart, man, and you got to throw the ball where it's supposed to go, and that high ball there is a bad throw, and when you throw bad balls, you're going to get bad outcomes. So for me, unfortunately for the Jaguars and the fans, this is what the outcome is. But, you know, that when you throw the ball that way in the traffic, typically those are the results you're going to get.
We'll come back more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. Final score in Detroit, 26-19. The Lions with a win over the Jaguars. Lions are now 6-4. The Jags fall to 2-8. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Final score in Detroit, 26-19. The Lions over the Jags. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to find a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their 5 convenient lots. Tickets start at $7. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor as we continue breaking down this game in Detroit today. Marquise Lee, the day for him today, he made a couple of big catches late in this game. 4 catches, 52 yards, and his first touchdown of the season. The catches on that drive back-to-back, guys, Fred especially, pretty incredible to see, the toe-tapping that happened for Marquise today.
Yeah, and again, and I always praise the staff and organization for, you know, sticking with Marquise throughout his injuries, man. They saw something, obviously, when they drafted him. And to endure and go through those hamstring injuries with him, to give him an opportunity to be able to do the things he's doing now for this organization, I think is just a testimony to them and their patience and their vision despite the talent. He's playing very solid, and I think he's a great compliment to the Allen brothers. And I like to see more of him, more targets if they can get the ball his way. He's special talent.
Yeah, very talented, very competitive too. You see that drive in him, Fred. As well, Telvin Smith, we know how competitive he is, and we know what he went through this week with the loss of his brother, the birth of his newborn baby son, so had to be a bit drained in this game. How do you think he played?
I thought he played well. I didn't see a drop-off, man. The passion of fire, you know, I'm pretty sure he used it as motivation. I think at the end right there of the game, you know, I believe he was calling on his brother, you know, for a little help, some savior of sort. But, you know, I do know one thing, Mike, is football, it was my outlet. Anything, any adversities would come my way in life, even on the football field, the injuries, I use it as motivation. It's my outlet, just being around the guys, the camaraderie. you know, being able to legally take your frustration and pain out on somebody else. It was my outlet, man. And I pray for Tevin, but it's good to see him out there still smiling and enjoying it, man. And you know, that's what it's all about. You got the guys embracing him. I see Paz went to the funeral, and it's family. If nothing else, you win together, you lose together, and you find a way to keep going. So I'm proud of the young man. I'm a fan. If not, I'm definitely a fan.
When we return, the lightning fast questions for Fred Taylor. Final score 26-19. Lions get the win over the Jaguars in week 11. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports with the X1 Sports app. You can track stats and scores on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Final score in Detroit. Lions over the Jags 26-19. Jags fall to 2-8. The Lions are 6-4 in first place in the NFC North. Fred Taylor is back with us, so it's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game from Freddie T. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, Fred, simple question, difficult answer. How did Blake Bortles play?
Oh, man. I mean, you throw a pick six, that's the difference in the ball game. I'm not going to say he played well, his performance, but to see the grit and the determination to get it done, even though you banged up your shoulder early in the game, I give him some style points for the heart he showed. But I didn't think his performance overall was anything to brag about.
Fred, second time in 3 weeks the Jaguars special teams have given up a big return that really impacted the game. How do you tighten up that aspect?
You put a little heat under the special teams coach.
And finally, now the Jags are 2-8. They will not have a winning record this year. That's assured now with the 8 losses. Now what for this Jags team?
Hey, you got to keep fighting, man. Yeah. Just got to keep fighting, and guys got to play for pride. Yeah, I don't know anything else at this point. Playoffs not going to happen. It's got to play for pride. Play for the city.
There you have it. The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers for Fred Taylor. You know, something we haven't mentioned yet in this postgame broadcast so far. Tight end play for this team today. Julius Thomas, you know, there was a play late where it was, I think, a 2-yard gain, and they needed a 3rd and 4, I guess it was.
Yeah,
what it was.
Yep.
It was short of the sticks there. And then there was another one late where Blake hit him in the back with the football.
Never got his head turned.
It was on 2nd and long. It would have made it a 3rd and long anyway. What do you make of those situations and Julius Thomas's play here the last few weeks, Fred?
Hey, JP, in my notes here, I put not very active after the catch. I was going to say that last week and I think the week before that. It seems that when he catches the ball, I mean, there's no real run after the catch. Usually tight ends are going to gallop a few yards and then get chopped down. I thought he was a little bit more athletic than that, being the former basketball guy and those, you know, highlight reels we saw out there in Denver. Haven't had an opportunity to do any of that really here in Jacksonville. You get the ball to him short and he's being tackled as soon as he catches it. Now, I'm not going to say it's all his fault. It all most certainly depends on where the ball is placed, but I like to see a little bit more activity after he catches the ball to give the offense some chance to sustain drives.
And, Fred, I thought it was interesting, once again, he wasn't the first tight end getting involved in the pass-catching game today. It's Mercedes Lewis with a couple early, and if he doesn't get hurt, who knows what the plan is in terms of usage with Julius Thomas. I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money, and right now they don't seem to think he's necessarily even the best option they have at the beginning of the football game.
And that's why you evaluate. You let it play out. Most contracts are decided, determined. If it's not a 1-year deal, if you sign a long extension or you're a free agent going into a different team, they're going to evaluate you over the first 3 years of that deal. And the window is closing for Julius. If it hasn't closed, I don't know if he's the first option. A week ago, I think we pointed out that they had him out there strategically by formation, where he was out there in three wide single back set. Well, not necessarily just single back, because two tight end Mercedes was out there in a two tight set. So I don't know. They're going to have decisions to make in the offseason. I don't think they'll be very hard decisions, though.
There you have it, the final score of 26-19 Lions over the Jaguars. We're back with highlights, the Bud Light play of the game as well. Jags fall to 2-8 with a loss today to the Lions, who improved to 6-4. More Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey coming back. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. 26-19 the final. Lions win it over the Jags in week 11. Time to listen to the highlights. We'll pick a Bud Light play of the game as well, and we start off early. Neither offense really could get anything going. A couple of punts each way. The Jaguars' second punt. Well, the Jaguars finally, at long last, got a takeaway for the first time since week 4.
Fourth punt of the game now in this first quarter. Nortman stands inside the 40-yard line. Roberts waits around his own 10. Snap is good. Drops the point. End-over-end punt. Roberts calls for another fair catch and makes it. Fumbles it. The ball's on the ground. The ball is on the ground, and Jacksonville is trying to get on top of it. It bounces away again. The teams are still trying to get on top of it. No signal as of yet.
They ended up recovering the fumble. First takeaway in forever for the Jags. They got a field goal out of it. 27-yard field goal. 3-0 Jaguars lead. Next Jaguars drive, Ivory fumbled it away, but the Lions couldn't do anything with it. It was a 3-and-out for Detroit. That was the midst of a long 3-and-out drought for the Detroit Lions. Then the Jags had to punt it away on their next 3-and-out. This time, special teams and issue, the Lions go to the house.
Brad gets the snap, gets the punt away, high punt. Roberts calls for a fair catch at the last minute, I thought. I guess he didn't. I thought he moved his hand to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 30, inside the 25, inside the 20, to the 10, to the 5. That's going to be a touchdown. Carson Tinker is saying he called for a fair catch. There's no doubt he called for it.
Well, they said he did not call for it. The extra point, no good. 6-3 Lions. Jags punted it away. So did the Lions. Jags back on offense. 7 plays, 54 yards in just over 3 minutes. Bortles to Allen Robinson.
Empty backfield from the 3-yard line. 2:49 a play and a half. Jags trail 6-3. Bortles in his shotgun now, trying to get everybody lined up. Now he does. Blake takes. Fires into the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown by Allen Robinson. A 3-yard touchdown pass, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
Extra point, no good. 9-6 Jaguars. The Jags at that point outgained the Lions 160-20 in the game before a half-ending drive, 27-yard field goal for Prater. 9-9 the halftime score. Well, the Jaguars had the ball to open the second half. Third play into the half, familiar play for the Jaguars offense, unfortunately.
3rd and 7 now, after the incomplete pass. 2 right, 2 left. Ivory, the running back, shotgun, dropping the throw. It's a blitz. Bortles fires it out to the right side. Leaping attempt, the ball's gonna be tipped and picked off. It is intercepted by the Lions. He's still on his feet, inside the 25, inside the 20-yard line, inside the 10, the 5, touchdown Detroit.
16-9 Lions at that point. Myers hit a field goal coming off that, made it 16-12. The Jaguars offense then had 4 straight Ivory touches to start the drive. Lee made a toe-tapping catch of 29 yards, which was fantastic. And then this, the Bud Light play of the game, Bortles to Lee for a touchdown.
2nd and goal from the 3-yard line, 16-12. The Lions lead it, 2:19 to play in the third. Shotgun for Bortles. Blake drops, looks to the left side, fires to the left side. Leaping attempt, that ball is caught in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown. Big Marquise shot. Lee got both feet in bounds. Touchdown, Jaguars.
Jags led 19-16. The Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, reminding fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Jags defense got a takeaway. Golden Tate fumbled. Telvin Smith got the recovery for the Jags. The Jags offense couldn't do anything with it. They go 3-and-out, and then the Lions go down the field. Big play to Ebron of 61 yards. Set up Ebron on the ground for a touchdown.
Second and goal, Washington in the game as the running back now. He's in an I formation, three tight end set. Now they move a tight end out, so it's a one-back set from the one-yard line. Inside the one, actually. Stafford under center. They give it to Ebron on a jet sweep instead. He is into the end zone. They ran a jet sweep with a tight end. Walters Lesney made the tackle, but he dove into the end zone for the touchdown.
23-19 Detroit. The Jags go 3-and-out offensively. Then they had stopped the Lions. It was 4th-and-2. Jags defense had a chance to stop them and get the ball back. But Sendarik Marks jumped across.
4th-and-2 from the 46-yard line. Stafford under center on 4th-and-2. And they drew him offside.
He did it again. Sendarik Marks, you had the same thing happen earlier this year.
You called it, Jeff, before it ever happened. A hard count, and Sendarik Marks jumped offside on 4th-and-2.
4th-and-2 offside. Prater hit a field goal later, 26-19. Interception sealed it on the other side. Ball game 26-19. Lions win it. They're 6-4. The Jags fall to a record of 2-8. We're back with an EverBank stats check. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey coming up as well. 26-19 the final. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Get there early.
Jaguars postgame rolls along, 26-19 the final. Lions over the Jags in week 11. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Time to pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. The voting, as always, Fred Taylor gets a vote and a half, considering he's on the wall here at the stadium. Mike, you get a vote, and I'll get a vote. And that's how it'll work out today.
All right.
So who wants to go first? Frederick?
You know what? I'll step in and go first. It's been a while since I've gone first.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give it to Telvin. I mean, he's out there flying around in the midst of the adversities with his family. Yeah. The defense, they were stout early. They were stout. He's always a leader in there, himself and Posh. And to be able to fly around, 8 total tackles, 7 of them were solo. So he's definitely trying to get it done. One tackle for loss and a QB hit. Pressured. So I'm going to give it to Telvin, man. I know he's going through some stuff, so I admire his courage.
Yeah, I think you could easily go with Telvin here. I'm going to put the pressure on JP to make the decision, though. Because, look, everybody, including Telvin gave up the big pass play to Eric Ebron for 61 yards. So there's nobody who played very well that didn't have that one glaring mistake. So with that in mind, I'm going to go with Chris Ivory, who did lose a fumble but accounted for 114 offensive yards, led the way as a receiver, and probably had a bigger role today than he anticipated with T.J. Yeldon going out early. So 114 total yards for Chris Ivory, and I will pass the vote to J.P. Shadrick.
Well, this could be our first three-way vote, three different votes today.
Could be.
Because I'm going with Marquise Lee. 4 catches, 52 yards. Now, he was targeted 8 times. But the 2 catches he had back-to-back on the drive to give them the lead, by the way, in the third quarter late, that 3-yard touchdown catch came after a 29-yard catch along the sideline. We're starting to really see what he is was projected to be when he came out in the draft a few years ago. He's healthy now. My vote's Marquise Lee. He got his first touchdown of the season today, and it was to take the lead late in the third quarter. But by rule, Fred Taylor's vote carries more weight.
Yes.
A vote and a half.
So listen, that's a solid vote, JP. I mean, your vote is solid vote. Mike, I don't know what we're – I mean, I do admire Telvin's courage, but this is what I tend to ask myself when I hear all the reasons that the quote-unquote the voters for the Hall of Fame tell me or the fans why Fred Taylor may not get selected or elected to the Hall of Fame. And I go, what are they talking about? You know, here it is, Ivory fumbled. No way he should be nominated. Telvin, he gave up a big play. But because of obvious reasons, there's a lot there. He could have easily 2-7 say, hey, I quit, man. I don't feel like it today. But he showed courage. So I looked at that. JP, JP, you hit it on the head. I thought your vote was solid. But I do ask myself, why are these guys saying they're not going to nominate Fred Taylor for the Hall of Fame? It's baffling.
Wait a minute.
I think our choices were baffling, Mike.
Hey, Marquise.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going with me. And Marquise, hey, maybe, you know, I know the ball was a little off target. Bring it in, and maybe it does go for a pick six the other way.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, just playing devil's advocate here now. That's what I'm saying. They were all involved in a negative play.
Well, Blake for president while you're at it.
Hey, none of us voted for Blake. And I think, you know, I Telvin's a very good selection, particularly because all he went through this week. I'm not going to question that.
So there you have it.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, and you belong in the Hall of Fame too, Fred.
Yes,
how about
of
that?
Course.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
All right.
I'm not going to lose any sleep on it, Mike, but I laid it all out, man.
Yes, sir.
The Jaguars Radio Network player of the game is Telvin Smith. The Jags fall today, final score of 26-19. We're back with an unfortunately long injury report for the Jags. A MASH unit today in Detroit for this Jaguars team. This is Jaguars Post Game on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Post Game continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Lions win at 26-19. Jags are now 2-8. Lions are 6-4. The Jags now with their ninth consecutive season without a winning record. It is confirmed today with the eighth loss of the season. It has been a tough stretch for this team. The injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. This is a long list today, too. This was a banged-up Jaguars football team coming out of Ford Field today. Bortles, as we mentioned, played a lot of the game with what appeared to be a banged-up right arm. He was tackled on a running play and kind of fell on that right shoulder, it appeared, right before halftime. Went in early, and Chad Henne had to take the knee before half. But Bortles came back out and played through it. We'll see moving forward if there's any issue with that. Mercedes Lewis, a right calf injury. The Jaguars tight end and one of the better blocking tight ends was out most of the game today. Aaron Colvin, a concussion, ruled out of the game. Omame on the offensive line, a foot injury. He was carted off in the second quarter, and Chris Reed played his position. T.J. Yeldon had an ankle injury and missed a lot of the game today. Jared Odrick was in and out of the lineup today with, a foot injury. He collided with Malik Jackson. He came back in. Then he twisted it again another time and then had a shoulder injury as well, as was reported from the sideline by Rick Ballew. Chris Ivory had an ankle issue in the fourth quarter but came back in. Aurelius Ben took a hard hit on the long Marquise Lee punt return. And even earlier in the game, Peyton Thompson was being evaluated for a concussion, but I think we saw him back on the field after that. So that's the longest list of the year for the Jaguars
team. That almost, it seems like, equals their season-long total, right? I mean, really, most weeks, Fred, it seems like they've had one or two guys and it hasn't been anything major or significant. You had, I think, four guys early in this game ruled out of the contest. So, despite the fact that they're not playing great football, Fred, they're played undermanned a little bit today as well, and you got to wonder how many of these will carry over into the Buffalo game next week.
Yeah, I know, man. You know, when you're losing it, it's a little bit harder to get out there. And Buffalo is not going to be – you're not going to have the weather that you have here in Florida. Even when it's cold, it seems to hurt a lot more, and it becomes very depressing and that much harder to get out there and to get your body, your motor going. Hopefully these guys can bounce back. That's part of it, what they get paid to do, and try and stop Buffalo from fighting to get a playoff spot.
We'll come back and preview that Buffalo Bills game next week. Jags are on the road again against a team that won today. We'll break down the Bills and the Jaguars next week. Final score in Week 11, 26-19, the Lions over the Jaguars. We'll wrap it up after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. If you're listening in Jacksonville on our flagship station, 1010XL, the scoreboard show is next, and we'll take your calls with thoughts about this Jaguars game today. The final score in Week 11, 26-19, the Lions over the Jags. And now Week 12 coming up quickly. The Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park, New York. The weekend of Thanksgiving, you never know what the weather's going to be doing up that way. This Buffalo team, though, won today. They beat the Bengals 16-12. And they had their running back out of the game a good bit. McCoy, who had a thumb injury, dislocated thumb. They couldn't pop it back in, which sounds horrible, and it is. But he's expected to play next week. Robert Woods left the game with a knee injury today. Sammy Watkins hasn't been around for this team. So it's a gettable. I mean, you know,
they're all.
I'm cautious
many,
here.
Many are gettable. Right?
I'm cautious.
I'm with you. They're 5-5. They're not a great team. Yeah. Fred, this is a team in Buffalo that would just as soon throw for 14 yards and beat you that way as opposed to run for 14 like Detroit did today. They want LeSean McCoy and Mike Gillisley to eat up the time on the ground. They want Tyrod Taylor to scramble around, make just enough plays in the passing game, and play good defense. And they're quite content to muck it up and play low-scoring games like they did against Cincinnati. Went in there today and got a W. So they're right there in the thick of the wild card chase in the AFC. They got a ton to play for.
Right, Mike, and they don't, you know, they exude the passion and energy and identity of their coach, man. They can probably care less about how fancy it looked. They just want to win. They want to stay on the heels of the Patriots and give themselves an opportunity to go to the second season, which is the playoffs. They do play solid defense, and that's what Rex is known for. So they play solid defense. On the offensive side, as you mentioned, Mike, they do want to try and run it. It's going to be a challenge, though. The Jaguars' run defense is pretty stout. And then it could be a windy day, a cold day up in Buffalo. So who knows what can happen in these type games when they go up there. I think the X factor, as always, turnovers. Let's, once again, I'll say, try to find a way not to hurt yourself, you know, and give yourself an opportunity by protecting the ball.
The Bills, remember, started 0-2, and then they fired their offensive coordinator and then reeled off four straight wins. Then they lost three in a row heading into the bye week, including losses to Miami, New England, and Seattle. They won today against the Bengals. They're licking their chops because the Jags are coming in at 2-8. After the Jags, they have to go to Oakland, and then they get the Steelers at home. So for them, a 5-5 football team, it's a game that they're definitely going to take with full consideration this week.
Absolutely, and as Fred said, turnovers going to be key. They always are in the National Football League. Tyrod Taylor has done a terrific job protecting the ball this year, coming into this week with 10 touchdowns against only 3 interceptions, Fred. So again, if you're not generating a heavy pass rush, it's tough to get those turnovers. So Jags need to cut down on their own. They had too many again for the umpteenth consecutive week.
Right, and the good thing, though, Mike, is that of their five losses, they lost two at home. They are beatable at home. And you never know. They'll see the Jags coming in, limping in at 2-8. They can possibly get comfortable. You know, they'll go and watch the film and say, hey, we have an opportunity to do all these things these other teams did to them. And I know they want to try and close it out and really make it a long flight home for the Jaguars. But this team, you know, a week ago I said they looked, you know, it was either that, a few players, or either maybe it was the condition. But I beg the question, the condition this late in the season. But hopefully these guys show some passion and some will to get it done and bring a victory back to Jacksonville. I'm sure the people will like it.
I think everybody would like that for sure. 1 o'clock kickoff next week. We'll be on the air on the network at noon with Countdown to Kickoff. By the way, Fred, before we get out of here tonight, how is Mexico City?
Mexico City is crowded. It is the worst traffic that I've ever seen in my entire 40 years on this planet. It is absolutely atrocious. It's bad, JP. I mean, the city was nice. Golf was nice. All that other stuff was nice. But the traffic, and I'm not spoiled. I usually do okay in traffic. But, man, it's the worst.
Yeah, and we know about some traffic in going over to London over those years. Yeah, that's some bad traffic now. But
well, you know what? But this is it's nothing like you've ever seen. This is all day. No such thing. Every hour is rush hour. No such thing as, well, people are getting off from work. I think, was it 20-something million people? I don't know. Someone threw out a crazy stat. I'm not sure if they're just kidding around or not. But it's the worst I've ever seen.
Well, Fred,
L.A. traffic has nothing on this.
Fred, we won't see you, so happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Hey, tofurkey. Thanks, Mike.
I see you.
Fred. Oh, man, remember last week I said it's going to taste like tofurkey if you don't get the win.
That's right. That's right. That's what you've earned, unfortunately, a tofu turkey.
Have a good one, Fred.
All right, guys.
See you, buddy.
Fred Taylor. All righty. Pride of the Jaguars running back joining us on Jaguars postgame.
I have to admit I'd forgotten about the
turkey. Me a second. I was like, what is he?
Well, where's he going with that?
That's about right.
Now we know.
It's about what it's going to taste like. Unfortunately, the Jags are 2-8 heading into Thanksgiving week. They'll be in Buffalo next week. That'll do it for Jaguars postgame. Stick around if you're in Jacksonville. The Scoreboard Show is next. Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato, producers. And for Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score for the final time, 26-19, Lions over the Jaguars on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. J.P. Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah & Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by EverBank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Scoreboard Show underway. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, the number. Reaction to the Jaguars' eighth loss of the 2016 season. It comes in week 11 of the 2016 season.
Way too soon.
Yeah, and a different way to do it. They got takeaways today, but only 3 points off the two takeaways. Gave up a pick six today. Rarely can you do that and win. On top of that, a punt return for a touchdown for the Detroit Lions. And even after all that, the Jaguars had the lead.
They'd have the lead in the fourth quarter at some point. That's been Detroit's MO. 10 for 10. They've trailed in the fourth quarter this year, so they've got 6 comeback fourth quarter victories.
The Jags nearly overcame all of that, had the lead in the fourth, but the Lions get down the field and score and get a field goal late to win.
That's the problem, right? Every week. For there's exceptions. The Tennessee game, never in it. San Diego game, never in it. But many, if not most, of the Jags games, you know what? Almost overcame all these mistakes. Problem is, it's a different batch of mistakes in any given week. You know, you've got a veteran like Cedric Marks jumping off sides when it seems obvious that all they're trying to do is draw you off sides in that circumstance. For one thing, you know they're not going to run. They don't run at all. They're not going to run on 4th and 3. So I don't know what I guess he's trying to get a jump and get some push up the middle, but just a dumb play. And there have been too many dumb penalties on the Jags this year, that one included. And, you know, Blake Bortles just off a little bit here and there. You know, you've got the 2 interceptions. You had a couple more that probably could have been picked off. He wasn't particularly sharp today. So many different things. Chris Ivory, they've got some momentum. He costs the ball up right there in the middle of the field after a nice 9-yard run. We talked about the special teams touchdowns. I mean, what can you say? It's a different batch of mistakes in a one-possession loss. Once again, for this football team, they continue to put themselves in position to beat themselves. And I really believe that. I mean, the defense played, for the most part, outstanding football today. They allowed 13 points of their own. You're not going to shut them out every week. You allow 13 points on defense, you're doing pretty well, and you need to win those football games, and you can't allow off scores against your offense and scores on your special teams.
Exact kind of mirror opposite to this the teams here. I mean, the Lions are winning these type of games in the fourth quarter and coming back, and every game they've played this year has been a one-score game, including today's 26-19 final. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll go until 6 o'clock tonight. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
The Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Far from exceptional today in the result. 26-19, Lions win it over the Jags. Some other scores of games, considering, Mike and everything, this is the Scoreboard Show.
You mentioned that from time to time.
You might have heard about that. There are 3 4 o'clock window games going on right now. The Rams lead the Dolphins 7-0. That's under 2 minutes left in the second quarter. The Eagles lead the Seahawks 7-6. That's out in Seattle. 9:30 to left in the second quarter, and under 6 to play in the second quarter in San Francisco. The Patriots lead the 49ers 13-3 in Tom Brady's first game in that place, I think, in San Francisco even.
Isn't that crazy?
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, it happens like that. You only play the other conference away every 8 years, right? And I get probably the last time they played out there, Matt Castle was probably the quarterback is my guess, right? Yeah, and that 2008 was the year Brady hurt his knee. It was out for the season.
That's true. Other finals today, Bills over the Bengals 16-12. Steelers beat the Browns, who now fall to 0-11, 24-9 the final. Cowboys win again, 9-1 record for the Cowboys, 27-17 over the Ravens. The Colts beat the Titans, so they're 5-5 now, 24-17 the final. The Bucks over the Chiefs, 19-17. Vikes over the Cardinals, 30-24. And the Giants are now 7-3. They beat the Bears, 22-16.
Good shape there for a wild card at the very least, with Dallas leading the division with 9 wins. But
sets up a heavy December, too.
They came in as the only wild card contender with at least 6 wins as well this week. So they're continuing a pace. We're right where they need to be to make the postseason. Mm. Unfortunately, the Jags are not. Right now, the Jags have the 4th worst record in the National Football League, if I'm not mistaken. You got San Fran with 1 win. You've got Chicago with the 2, but the Jags beat them. And you've got Cleveland, who's winless right now. So the Jags are the 4th worst in the overall NFL standings at this point in time. Let's go to the phones for the first time here on the Scoreboard Show at 355-NFL-1. And we'll start with Charles. Hi, Charles. How are you?
Great. It's almost Thanksgiving, and, you know, we can kind of write off the Jags. So I just wanted to give a Thanksgiving wish to everybody at the ball who has to put up with this team. And I just want to say thank you for your coverage throughout the year.
All right.
Okay. We appreciate
that.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
We'll do the best we can.
Look, we're here, win or lose, doesn't matter. I mean, you know what I mean? We want them to win, but don't think it's tough on us. To me, it's tough on all those fans who for years have been coming out hoping for better, rooting for better, and not getting it right now, at least on the field in the one loss column. Yeah. Charles, thank you for the call.
I mean,
though,
it's tough on everybody. It's I will say it is a more positive environment to cover when the team is winning.
You think?
I mean, obvious.
It's
much
better.
That's the most obvious statement I've ever said in my life. But you go in and it's easier to get information, to talk to players, to do normal things that you're going to have to do anyway. And that's been far from what we've had around here. Not that it's been difficult, but it's just a different feel. And certainly for the guys, they want to win. The players want to win. Obviously, the fans want to win more than anything. And it's just not happening. And that, all that coming together is really frustrating for everybody.
It is indeed. All right, let's go back to the lines. Tanner is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Tanner. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I feel like once again, Jags fans were kind of looking at the future. I do like Nathaniel Hackett. I think the offense has looked better minus the turnovers. So I was wondering, is he going to be the offensive coordinator next year, or what's the deal with all that?
Well, he's the offensive coordinator right now.
Right.
And if there are no changes, then I would think that would be what would not change. I
mean, right. Well, the whole thing comes down to, is there a head coaching change? If there is, generally, you're not going to see many, if any, coaches retained. Sometimes you do. On occasion, you do. Yeah. Jerry Sullivan got retained when Mike Mularkey got fired here because he's a hell of a coach.
Yep.
Right? So it's certainly possible that could happen. But really, I mean, without knowing if or what will happen at the head coaching position, and I think, JP, you got to be realistic at this point. You know, as few games as Gus Bradley won coming into this year with much higher expectations, currently at 2-8, chance of him running the table to get to 500 I think are slim and none. There's a good chance you're going to have a change at the head coaching position, and if that's the case, then all bets are off on the coaching staff beneath him. You just don't know. I mean, that's going to be up to whoever the head man is, whether that's Gus or someone else, so to be determined.
We don't know what the number was at the start of the year that Shad Khan had in his head.
I bet it's
but I guess I'm going to – I mean
– I bet it – but whatever it was, I bet it, they're not coming in at that number.
It's horrible.
Right. I mean look, they're competitive. They're well – in my opinion, they're well past the point where there's any solace in just being competitive. You know, every you should be competitive week in, week out in the National Football League.
This is the year you start winning football.
There need to be results in the one loss column. They haven't been there. The great chances are then, if there is a head coaching change, the vast majority of occasions, your coordinators and everybody under them will be swept out with it. So
yep,
that's where we stand. All right.
All right. Let's take our time out. We'll come back. More of your calls. 355-NFL-1, the number. Final score. Lions win it 26-19. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And we continue with the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Long list. Bortles played through what appeared to be a right arm type of situation. He was tackled and fell on that arm late in the first half, but played through. Right calf injury for Lewis. Colvin had a concussion, was out of the game. Amame carted off with a foot injury. Yeldon had an ankle injury and was out of the game. Audric left, came back in the game, and then left again, a foot and a shoulder injury. Ivory came back in after turned his ankle in the fourth quarter. And Aurelius Ben took a hard hit during the Marquise Lee long kickoff return. So there you have the injury report, the longest of the season so far.
Hey, unfortunately, add injury to defeat, right? Injury to insult, so to speak. And that's been the one saving grace for the Jags. They've been healthy, really. I mean, with the exception of Luke Jokel going out for the season, they haven't had too many major injuries that kept the starter out for more than a week or two at a time. JP, now you got a bunch of guys going out early in this game. This is going to be a telling week to see what they've got left for the Buffalo Bills. 355-6351. That's 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to be a part of the Scoreboard Show. Let's go to Max up next here. Hello, Max. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Fine, thanks.
All
what's
right.
up, man?
Hey, man. I think it's a part of the culture. It's a coaching culture, man. And we've gone through this thing a couple times. The Cinderic Marks.
We lost you. Did we lose you there,
I
Max?
Think, I knew.
No, I'm still here. I'm sorry. Cinderic Marks, man, his play was egregious. I mean, and it goes to the Dante personal fouler and the whole thing, man. Why do we shoot ourselves in the foot so many times?
Wish we had the answer for that.
Yeah, if we did.
What do we do about that?
I don't know, because it's not the same thing over and over, Max. I mean, it's not Cinderic jumping off sides every week, but this week it was, right? Today, Dante didn't have those kind of errors, but he has in the past. It's been shared responsibility, JP.
I kind of equate this to what Julius Thomas said in the locker room this week when he was asked about how do you coach players to not turn the ball over, to hold on to the ball more. Well, at some point, they're professional football players. Go be a pro and hold on to the football. It's the same thing in this department, too. What else can you do? I mean, they're professional football players. You can tell them not to do it. Don't do this. It's 4th and 2. They're not going to snap it. Don't jump.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Because
the pro football player has to go out and not jump.
We get these questions. Do they tell them about these circumstances? Are they teaching them situational football? Everyone on that field knows you can't jump off sides on that
There's
play.
60,000 people in the stands that don't know.
It's just a bad look when you're complaining about your playing time. And then the biggest play you make the next week is one that all but seals the victory for the Detroit Lions. You know,
that's the kicker.
That really is. And, to me, I know others have said, I don't have any problem with a guy complaining about his playing time. I do, because it comes off as selfish when your team is losing. You're in four straight, a four-game losing streak, and you're worried about your snap count. That, to me, is not the key thing here. And, that didn't help right there. And it was such a blatant offside.
I don't even remember a hard count.
I don't even know if the count started. He put his hand on the ground and then just stepped across the line of scrimmage and gave him the 5 yards and a first down. So yeah, look, egregious is a good word to describe it. It was a terrible. A veteran, a rookie shouldn't make that mistake. Honestly, you've been playing football long enough when you're a rookie to know they're going to try to hard count you in that territory on 4th and 3. And I get it. You're trying to get a jump on the snap, but it's not worth the risk in that circumstance to pick up the 5-yard penalty. Max, thank you for the call. Inexplicable, JP. It's what we talked about earlier. It's not just one guy making the same mistake. It's not a bunch of guys making the same mistake. It's not one guy making a bunch of different mistakes. It's a bunch of guys making a bunch of different mistakes.
The sad thing is, right before that play happened, we all in this room, and I know people in living rooms and cars across the city, said, don't jump offside.
They're going to try to draw
Somebody's going to jump offsides here. It's happened before. It's going to happen. No, Sin, no, don't do it. Everybody said that. You had to have, because we did it right here in this room.
Everyone who's watched any level of football for any period of time knows that. He knows that.
He knows.
Derek Marks knows that. I mean, come on. All right, Max, thank you for the call. Let's get Jerome up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Jerome. Jerome. All right, let's try Charlie, I believe we have next. Hi, Charlie, how are you? We got Charlie?
We'll get to Charlie coming up. Stand by.
Who we got there, Tone? Charlie? Hey, what's up, Charlie? How are you?
Hey, how you doing tonight, guys?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Good, good, good. A few comments tonight. Getting the season after the Green Bay game, he did very good. Bortles did good. But unfortunately, something's gone downhill with that, with Bortles. And I don't know if it's something personal. We don't need to start rumors or anything and all that gobbledygook, but something has happened with Blake Bortles and his private life that has caused this
trouble. No. How do you know something happened in his private life? How do you know that?
Here.
What now?
Something has happened.
All right, Charlie, do you know something happened, or are you just speculating something happened? Because when you say we know something happened in his private life, that indicates to me you have some knowledge that the rest of us don't share. So tell us what your knowledge is.
I'd rather not tell it, but give me a minute.
Okay, Charlie, see you later. You're gone. You can't call up and make some accusation that something's going on in somebody's personal life and don't back it up with any kind of facts. That's just garbage. I'm sick of this garbage, honestly. We got this kind of call last week. We've looked into this, by the way, and it's a bunch of nothing to this. So unless you've got something that has some kind of pertinent fact behind it, nobody's calling up here and getting away with just flying off the handle. Well, everybody knows. No, you don't know squat, all right? So cut that kind of garbage out. We're not going to take that. Sorry.
That's absolutely right. 22 of 35, 202 yards today, two touchdowns, two interceptions, 73.8 rating. Tough
Stop
day at the office.
Well.
Yeah,
guess
it's
what?
Just
threw,
a tough day at the
he
office.
He threw a pick six right off the bat in the Green Bay game, too. It's been happening all year long.
One of his better games of the year, right? I mean, come on. So,
you know, if you know something about any player, for that matter, it's not just a Blake thing. Don't call up and make these allusions to some vague something or other, which I'm not going to tell you. Then don't call. All right? Seriously, don't call. That's just dumb.
I love you, Mike. We'll come back.
That makes sense.
You know, yes,
I understand
agree.
Frustration from Jag fans, but don't go making up something you know nothing about. And if you call up and you claim you know something about it, but I can't say, then, you know, really, I got worse things I could say about you than that. Let's just cut it there.
We'll come back. More of your calls. They better be better than that one. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number. The final score, 26-19. Lions over the Jaguars. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
355-NFL-1, the number. 355-6351, the Scoreboard Show continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls. Late game scores. Rams with a 7-0 halftime lead over the Dolphins. The Seahawks lead the Eagles 16-7, 3:40 to go in the first half. And look out for those San Francisco 49ers. They trail the Patriots 13-10 with 13 seconds to go in the first half.
And it's raining. It looked like pretty hard out there in San Fran, so anything can happen. You get a sloppy weather second half.
They had rain today in Los Angeles, of all places.
I know,
too.
Right? Kind of crazy. Rams have played pretty good defense this year, you know, kind of quietly because everything, it's hard. It's one of those look-away teams when Case Keenum was at quarterback. It was difficult to watch that offense. Jared Goff hadn't done a whole lot from what I saw today, but Todd Gurley got loose for a longish touchdown run. I think the longest run he had coming into this game might have been 14 yards this year, and he had, a 22-yarder for a score, so maybe that gets him going a little bit right now. All right, back to the phone lines. We go 355
NFL 1.
They're
better this segment than they were last.
We'll find out. You know, Nathan is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Nathan. How are you?
Hey, how you gentlemen doing this afternoon?
Doing fine, thanks.
Great.
Hey, real quick, I just want to send out my thoughts and prayers and condolences to Telvin Smith. I know, you know, football is his livelihood, but for any athlete, you know, to have to go out there and play after a loss so close to him, it's got to be tough. So our prayers are with him and his family. This is the one game I thought that my Lions would lose, because I just, this is, this team, does, they don't play like they should play to teams that they should possibly beat. So this is the game I thought, you know, Jacksonville's going to go up to Detroit, and they're going to get them by three. So I'm happy we won the game, but I just want to say, as a Lions fan, to Jags fans, hang in there. Been there, done that. I've been a Lions. I'm born and raised in Detroit. Been a Lions fan all my life. Been there through the 0-16, the times when Jim Schwartz had this undisciplined team with Ndamukong suing them, just fighting, and the coach fighting other coaches. Been there. It's going to get better. You guys just need a good coach, because if Belichick's coaching this team, you guys are 7-2, 6-3, or whatever. So it's going to get better. You know, my heart goes out to Jags fans, because I know how tough it is week in and week out when you think your team has a chance to win and you think they're in it and they end up losing. So just hang in there. It was a good game, hard-fought game. It'll get better. That's all I got. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Appreciate the call. You know, if any fan group would know, it would be the Lions group. And, you know, talking to Jim Brandstatter, their broadcaster, longtime analyst this week, you know, he always says, every time I interview him, he says, it's the SOL, JP, the same old Lions. That's what they say here in Detroit. Well, not this year. They're actually getting some of these wins, at least 11 weeks in.
Let's just say this about the Lions. I mean, they're in first place at the moment. The Lions have gone 59 years without a championship. So when you say it'll get better, I mean, in any given season, it could get better. People say, you know what, the Jags have been long-suffering. The Lions have been suffering about three times as long, at least without a championship, right, and barely a playoff victory in that stretch. I mean, they're 6-4, Detroit is right now, so, and that's good. And, you know, maybe they'll, who knows what they'll do in the postseason this year, and maybe they'll win a title. But it can get, you know, just because you've gone 20 years or whatever without a championship, there are plenty, as we saw with the Cubs, right, winning after 108 years. There's no guarantee that streak is going to break anytime soon. So Detroit feeling pretty good about themselves, but Nathan and the rest of the Lion fans know just how bad it can be.
I was going to be a smart aleck and ask if Vito Stellino covered that team, but it wasn't that far off, I don't think.
Which one, the Cubs?
The Lions.
Oh, it could have been. 57.
In 57, he got there. He was 60s. There in the early 60s. Yep. So it wasn't far off
no.
from Vito being
Detroit was probably still considered one of those teams that had just won a fresh championship when Vito was a Cub reporter.
That's
back
right.
in the day.
Yeah.
Let's get James up here next on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, James. How are you?
Hey, good evening. Yeah, I just want to make a comment and an observation. First of all, I think they've been working really hard. I've enjoyed the last three games. At least they're giving it a try. I mean, they're working. They're still making the mental mistakes and everything. They aren't getting the turnovers that they need, but I think they've really been putting their heart into it, as is probably going to be evidenced by the amount of people that got hurt today. I mean, they are trying. They are really working at it. And then my observation is this on Bortles. I like Bortles. I don't understand what happened to him this year. Now, I'm not saying that something personal happened to him, but his whole demeanor is totally different this year. When he makes a mistake on the field, he's very animated. He acts out, especially if it's his own mistake. He acts very childishly with his body language. And it's like, that's not the language of a leader. He needs to have better composure. I don't understand what's going on with him. And it could just be his frustration. But the way he's acting out, it's very animated when he's disappointed in himself.
I don't disagree now, with that. Yeah, you have another point? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I wish Gus would have been a little bit more animated all these years. I was glad to see him start getting angry a little bit this year. But I definitely didn't want him like Coughlin. I thought Coughlin was way too animated all the time, especially when he was disappointed in his players. But I just noticed his Bortles' body language has really changed this year when he's been disappointed in himself.
Well, it has. I don't know if it's changed. I don't remember so much what his body language is like, but JP, I think early in the season, he had so many turnovers in the first 3 weeks. I think this is the one thing everyone's harped on he had to avoid this year. He led the league in interceptions last year, and it was kind of like it started again right off the bat, right? And I really think that I don't know if that, you know, I'm trying to play amateur psychologist. Did it make him gun-shy? Did it make him doubt being able to fit the ball into tight windows, what it was? But you know, you saw it last week when he threw the ball off Yeldon's foot that got caught out of the air, ultimately ruled a fumble. I mean, Blake's hands to the helmet, and it very very demonstrative. And I do wonder if, you know, when your quarterback, it's kind of you get the feeling it's like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. What can happen to us now? And hey, it's not something happening to you. You're not playing well. You're happening to you. Your own team is happening to you. And it's not forces out of your control. Throw it into the ground. Throw it backwards. Don't throw it into your running back's foot. And you can't have it bounce off. I mean, it's a fluky play that it bounced off his foot, but that's where you threw the ball. You know, I mean, it's little things like that. I do believe that he has let his frustration, he's worn it on his sleeve a lot this year.
I agree with that to a point, because I think there are some people, if he skipped off the field, oh, another interception, we'll get it next
some
time.
Of that,
there'll
sure.
be people that criticize him for not being emotional enough about it. So you're going to get criticism either way. But I'm with you. Whatever the quarterback does rub off on the rest of the offense and the rest of the team in turn. And whether it's been that bad all year, I don't know. I think it's been a little different this season. I think there's more pressure on him this year. I mean, it's his third year, for goodness sakes. Third coordinator now, and it's time to put up and play. I mean, and it just hasn't gone well.
And he hasn't played well. I think the whole team collectively, there's a lot. Sure, there's a lot of pressure on him, but guess what? That's what playing quarterback in the NFL, it comes with a job, right? I mean, you play quarterback in the NFL, there's going to be a ton of pressure on you. What do we always say? You get undue amount of credit when you win and an undue amount of blame when you lose, and that's probably true. I'm not saying he's blameless, certainly. He's a big part of the Jags' 2-8 record. But, you know, it'd be one thing. He doesn't have those wins where he's gotten the undue amount of credit because they don't have a lot of wins, period, right? So he hasn't experienced the other side of it all that much, and I'm not saying that's incorrect. It's through his own fault. He hasn't played well. It's been a bad year for Blake. He's regressed, but I think that's been a season-long regression. As we look back, the further we get removed from that Packers game, the more middle of the road – I almost said middle of the pack – the more middle of the road Green Bay looks every week, right? Yep. They're just an average team. There's nothing special about them this year in the NFL. So going toe-to-toe and almost beating them at home isn't as impressive as it was in the immediate aftermath of that football game. They don't have much to be impressed with this year. You beat a Colts team who was leaking oil at the time, and good job, you beat them, and that's a win. And you beat a really bad Chicago Bear team, and that's it. That's what you got.
Final timeout. One more segment to go in the Scoreboard Show. The fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues. Final score in Detroit. Lions win it over the Jags 26-19. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, final segment. We get a couple more calls in. By the way, teams in the NFL today have missed 11 extra points. Two in this Jags-Lions game.
League record.
League record for a single week, and we're not even through the 4 o'clock games yet.
And for this year, 8, which they had in the early games, 8 misses equaled the or was the high for the season. I don't know what the league record was prior to 11, but that's the most misses. It's definitely affected, right? Moving the extra point back. We saw Adam Vinatieri also miss what looked to be a pretty chip shot field goal, maybe even less than 40 yards. He had hit 44 consecutive. Which was another NFL record.
Yeah, that was up there at Indianapolis, though. That's weird that he missed that one.
Indoors.
Yeah, it was closed today. Yeah, roof
was
closed.
I think the record before today was 10 in, like, 1978.
So the 11 that they missed just pushed it up by one. And
yeah.
Still time to go. Put this one out of reach.
It's weird. Everybody's blocking extra points now and jumping over the long snapper and all that has changed it up, the strategy on those extra
points. You know, you saw that today with Jalen when the right guard raised up. You know that's coming. That's going to be as soon as they see that guy take that run and leap, just raise up, and if he touches you, it's a penalty on the other team.
Well, see, that wouldn't have been a penalty. That wasn't the penalty that was called.
Right. Well, they called the penalty because his foot was at the line of scrimmage, and it made it an illegal alignment with too many guys to one side
that's
of the football
what I believe
on the line of scrimmage. Right.
But so
you're not allowed to make
the guard,
contact. You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to make contact to the snapper.
And maybe that's it.
He didn't touch the snapper. If he would have jumped before the line of scrimmage.
Somebody's going to get killed, though, going in there, because they're going to get upended, land on their head, and, you know, it does make for some spectacular athletic plays, though, from time to time.
But after all that, the guy still made the field goal.
Yeah, he made the field goal, and it didn't have any impact whatsoever. Penalty was declined on that one. All right, let's get it.
Everybody's kind of tweeting out this video of Jalen on the sideline after that and just starting to get really frustrated on the sideline and – you know, all these guys want to win and do well, and it just hasn't happened yet. And that's the frustrating part.
There's no question about it. Fan base is frustrated. I'm sure the coaches are frustrated. The players are frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. Let's find out if Rick is. He's next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Rick. How are you? Hello, Rick. All right. How about Scott? Let's try Scott up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Nope. We go to, is it Ron? Tony? We got Ron. How about you, Ron?
Yes, I'm here.
What's up? Turn your radio down, please.
Okay. Yeah, I was watching it live. I'm from the West Coast, and I'm a diehard Jaguars fan. I've been since they came into the league. And I would just like to say that, I would first shout out to Telvin Smith and his family. And
you got about 2 seconds to turn that radio off, Ron. I'm serious. I mean, people, when you call in, the radio's on a delay.
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right. Yeah, I know. I told you that about a minute ago.
Okay. The Jaguars, I would like to see them try to do a little bit more eye formation if we're going to try to stick to the run. And I would like to see the management probably try to cut some of the fat. I mean, I think we've kept some people around, like maybe Denard Robinson and a few other players that, you know, it's time that we really need to go after top notch. And whether it's been a little bit more, you know, free agency money and whatnot, but, you know, we definitely need to improve.
You know, all right. Well, first off, I'm not going to run the eye. They don't have a fullback.
That's number one. Number two is Denard actually had a good game today.
You needed him because guys got hurt today.
And number three, they spent a bunch of money in free agency. The quality of your third string tailback is not the reason you're 2-8.
Everybody's third string tailback is probably not an ideal setup.
We would love
start.
For the Jags to be stacked and loaded at every position, but they went out. They spent money on Chris Ivory. They spent a lot of money on Chris Ivory. That was their target in free agency. They got him. The only guy they didn't land that they really wanted was Olivier Vernon. They offered him a boatload of money, and he's having a very underwhelming season for the New York Giants right now. So that was the other guy you were going to spend big money on. They spent big, huge money on Malik Jackson. They spent big money on Tashaun Gibson coming in here. I'm probably forgetting one or two, JP, just this year. And, you know, last year you can point back to Julius Thomas and others. Look, we'd like them to have better players at every single position, but I don't think it's for lack of effort in player procurement.
Kelvin Beachum,
Kelvin Beachum, who's probably going to have his contract picked up, a 4-year, $40 million extension. Prince of Mukamara, a solid 1-year pickup.
Sean Gibson.
Right, all these guys. So, I mean, look, I get it. You'd rather have better players, but singling out Denard today. Denard came in and when he touched the ball, he looked good today. Only 3 carries, but 21 yards, and really had a nice little burst. So is he the best third running back in the league? Probably not. But again, if you're down to your third running back, you're probably hurting already.
This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and medium drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. That is the positive, one of the positives today for the Jags. 52-yard field goal for Myers, and everybody's getting a free sub if you've registered, jaguars.com/firehousesubs.
Let me just point out, please, for the last caller, hopefully others in the future, when you try to listen to yourself on the radio, you listen to yourself 7 or 8 seconds after you speak, and it's very confusing. That's why we don't ask you to turn down the radio for the aesthetics. It's because you're just not going to have a very productive phone call.
Mike,
if you leave it up,
I'm afraid it's going to be one of those weeks again, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah. 2-8.
Yeah.
2-8 Jaguar team, and the Buffalo Bills are next on the docket, and we'll look forward to your programming throughout the week.
Been there, done that. Jaguars today, 10 to noon. We'll see you tomorrow.
There it is.
Me and Tony.
Mike Dempsey, our entire crew, Linda Fortunato, Max Hockman, Tony Smith, Victoria Edwards. This is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening. The fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.